This is Jody Denberg, and our guest tonight on the Sunday Night News is Leonard Cohen. Leonard, set the scene for us. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from a tremendously beautiful pine table in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is one thing, but the table is remarkable. It's 9 feet long and 4 foot wide. And, you know, you can set out all your work here. It's raining, and promises to rain for another couple of days.
Are you calling from your home?
I'm calling from downstairs of my home where I have my little office.
All right. Do you still spend time in Montreal or Greece or New York City?
Oh, yeah, Montreal. I kind of move between Montreal and Los Angeles here.
Any time anymore in Greece or the Big Apple?
No, not really. You know, Greece, wonderful place, Hydra, where I lived for many years, but, you know, they've resisted the modern world tremendously well, and they've still got their own music and their own scene. But, you know, when I got there, it was like the 11th century.
Hmm.
And now it's a long way to go to find someplace that's pretty much like the one you left.
Well, Leonard, your new album is called The Future, and it took you 4 years to make it. You've got 6 new lyrics on the album. And over the course of 25 years of making records, you've done 9 studio albums. Is writing a painful process for you?
It's not easy, you know, and it's not written anywhere that your work is supposed to be easy. In fact, it's written that your work is supposed to be, you know, by the sweat of your brow. So I'm not complaining, but it is, I find it tough work. But, you know, I think it is good to sweat over your work. I think that unemployment is the real problem today, and most people are unemployed, even the people that got jobs. So I'm happy to be fully employed, and that means you sweat over it.
Well, we were referring there to the writing process. How about the recording process itself, making records?
It's the same thing, you know. You never beat the rap, and you never master it. You know, you don't master love, and you don't master art. You know, so you're always making mistakes. And if you're trying for something new and there's no precedent for it, it's very hard to get your ideas across, and it's very hard to get them even across to yourself. It's very hard to envision something that is new, that hasn't really existed before. It's hard to say to somebody, you know, like, it's closing time, you know. I want it to have references to, like, country music, to Cajun music, to square dance music, to Eastern music. It's very hard to get the actual, to discover a vocabulary that would let the musicians know, you know, what you want.
Right. Well, the early, almost cliched image of Leonard Cohen is that of a lonely man in a black suit with a guitar over his shoulder. Do you even write songs on the guitar anymore?
I haven't written too many songs on the guitar recently. I guess on I'm Your Man, my last record, there was, I guess there wasn't any on that one either. No, I usually work on a keyboard or a synthesizer now.
Right. We're talking with Leonard Cohen tonight on the KGSR Sunday Night News. Leonard, the first song we're going to hear from the future is the title track. It's got some very extreme images in it. Tell us a little bit about its evolution and point of view.
Well, it started off as a song called If You Could See What's Coming Next, If You Could Read the Hidden Text. That was a little bit too far removed from the experience of the future. Well, this song are those cries that the future is going to draw from you, those exclamations, those impressions, those urgent observations that the future pulls out of you.
Style and St. Paul, I've seen the future, brother.
That's Leonard Cohen and the title track from The Future on the KGSR Sunday Night News. And we're talking with Leonard Cohen on the phone tonight from Los Angeles. Leonard, after many years, your new album, The Future, you've got it done. And I understand you're getting ready for a tour. Is this an easier time for you, more fun than the writing and the recording?
Well, there's nothing quite as severe and as austere as the writing and recording of a record. Yeah, because you do that one alone and you struggle alone. Putting the band together, I'm going to be working with a lot of musicians I've worked with before. And going back to 79, some of the guys have been with me that long. So it's just a matter of rehearsing and playing music, and that feels good.
Now, over the years, you've worked with a lot of Austin musicians and folks with Austin affiliations like Julie Christensen and Steve Metter. And are you going to be working with Bill Ginn this time?
Yeah, Bill Ginn is a musical director and keyboards. He's an old friend of mine. We've done a lot of stuff together. He also worked with Jennifer on her record, Famous Blue Raincoat. Steve Metter is playing drums. Julie Christensen's one of the singers. Paul Ostermeyer up beyond horn on saxophone. He's another musician that was hooked up with Passenger, where all these other musicians we've talked about came from, at Austin.
Right.
So the Austin connection is firm.
Now, someone I think from your record company was telling me you're starting this tour in a very unlikely place.
Well, we were going to start it in Budapest.
Right.
But we're going to start it in West Denmark now. We couldn't work that Budapest date out. I generally go out with a quite a rehearsed band. I don't like to wing it because the stuff is complex, and I like to present the thing right at the first concert. So we're going to rehearse for about a month here, and then for about a week in a little town, West Denmark, and then start the show there.
And then what are your plans? Are you going to make it to North America eventually?
Well, yeah, the devil laughs when you make plans, but, you know, I'd like to get here, sure. We're going to play Canada and come down the west, start in the east coast of Canada and go across the country, then come down the west coast of the United States and then over to Austin and whatever else we can pick up in the center of the country and then up to the east coast.
Now, Leonard, the last time you played Austin, it was at the end of 1988, and you taped an edition of Austin City Limits. I was wondering if you're aware that it's one of the show's most popular installments in its 20-year history.
Yeah, I was very pleased to hear that, and I like the show myself. We were very tired that night, and all of us thought we'd failed, and I like very much what they did with it, how they put it together, and I've enjoyed it myself, and I've seen it on PBS stations many times here in Canada. So, yeah, that was it turned out to be a great evening. It was an evening we thought which we had, failed.
Oh, I was in the audience that night. It was magical. And I don't know if you remember, but it was actually Halloween night.
You weren't the guy sitting with a watermelon on his head, were you?
That wasn't me. Oh, no, that was somebody else. You think you're going to tape another installment?
Yes, I'd like very much to, and I've sort of been invited to through an indirect source. We haven't really spoken to the folks there yet, but I hope we can put something together.
I was watching the other night a BBC documentary that's now out as a long-form video called Songs from the Life of Leonard Cohen, and I also saw the video for Closing Time.
Oh, yeah, it's hard to get that shown in the States.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah, I thought it was an agreeable video, but I don't know why that is. But that's another question. Huh? That's why I'm so happy that you're inviting me to talk on your show and playing the stuff, because it's hard for me to get radio play in the States.
Well, I understood that the video for Closing Time was added to VH1, so...
Yeah, I think it's been added in what they would call very light rotation.
The old lunar rotation, huh?
Lunar rotation, yeah.
Do you like working in the video medium, though?
Well, I think this is a good video, but, you know, I always feel it's somebody else's work that I cooperate with. You know, I kind of provide the soundtrack for some kind of gifted director's vision. I never thought of it as part of the song, but I'm happy to comply with the convention. It seems to be the only way you can promote the record in certain countries.
Isn't that strange? In the 60s, when you started out writing poetry and prose, did you imagine you'd have to be a movie star to get your words across?
Well, I never made it to that category, but no, it certainly has changed a lot. But the only thing that doesn't change is that actual, you know, activity of making the song. And I think that's where it still lies. You know, I understand a lot of people watch video, but I don't really watch it that much, so I've never been able to make a real connection to the medium.
We're speaking with Leonard Cohen tonight. His new album is called The Future. And Leonard, the first single and video from The Future is Closing Time, and it paints quite a picture, sort of the apocalypse set in a bar.
Well, that's that feeling you get. I guess you could call it apocalyptic, you know, just before the final lights come on and you're, you know, you realize you're not going to be able to drink enough to get drunk, and you're not going to be able to unwind enough to get warm and loose, and you're just stuck with who you are and what you are and where you are. And I guess the line that really nails this song is, looks like freedom, but it feels like death. It's something in between, I guess. It's closing time.
Something in between, I guess. It's close. Saturday night. And my very close companion gets me falling, gets me laughing. She's 100, but she's wearing something tight. And I lift my glass to the awful truth, which can't reveal to the ears of youth, except to say it isn't worth a dime. And the whole damn place goes crazy twice, and it's once for the devil and it's once for Christ. But the boss don't like these dizzy heights. We're busted in the blinding lights of closing time. And it's once for the devil and it's once for Christ. But the boss don't like these dizzy heights. We're busted in the blinding lights.
Busted in the blinding lights.
Busted in the blinding lights of closing time. Closing time. Oh, the women tear their blouses off, and the men they dance on the polka dots. It's closing. It's closing time. I swear it happened just like this. A silent cry, a hungry kiss. It's
closing time.
Closing time. Closing time. We get so low, we budge an inch. I can't say much has happened since. But
closing time.
I loved you when our love was blessed. I love you now, there's nothing left but closing.
We're speaking with Leonard Cohen tonight. That was Closing Time from the new album, The Future. Leonard, when you write, do you have a specific audience in mind?
No, I don't. Maybe I have a listener who's someone very much like me, or someone very much like someone I love. But I never aimed the stuff anywhere. I mean, I don't have any strategy in the writing of it, is what I mean to say.
Right. I'm curious, this is sort of a personal curious question, but when you write lyrics, do you use a pen or a typewriter or a word processor? How do you do it?
I start off with, whatever's at hand, a napkin, a stub of a pencil, ballpoint pens I usually carry with me, and it eventually makes its way to the Mac, you know, where I set it up and start moving the verses around, and then it goes back to the ballpen and back and forth between those two. It's more or less when it's up there on the screen, you know, black, and you can move the verses around. There's some information you get from just the maybe it's because it looks like television. It looks like it dignifies the verse when you see it up on the screen.
Right. Is there a different process involved? And I'm speaking both physically and thought wise when you're writing lyrics as opposed to prose or poetry.
Well, I always thought poetry was a verdict, you know, rather than an intention. Just because the lines don't come to the end of the page don't mean it's poetry. I think poetry is the accolade, is the sweet benediction we give to a piece of writing that has that kind of truth, that kind of rhythm, that kind of authority that touches us.
Hmm. Wow, that's pretty intense. I understand you've got a new anthology of poems that's about to come out. What can you tell us about it?
Well, I've been writing that kind of language, that kind of blackening pages in such a way that the lines don't come to the end of the page, and I guess it qualifies as poetry. I don't know whether it does or not, to tell you the truth, but I put out a number of books, and I'm gathering the best work that I can find, or the poems that seem to stand up, and it's coming out as an anthology in, I guess, next fall.
Hmm. How about your other published works, like the novel Beautiful Losers? Are those readily available?
Some countries, but I understand that that's coming out again, too. That's a book I wrote a long time ago, and seems to have stuck around, found its way into reading lists here and there, and translations here and there. It seems to have stayed alive, and I think they're putting out it again in the States, too.
We're talking with Leonard Cohen tonight on the KGSR Sunday Night News. One of my favorite lines on the new album is in the song Anthem. There's a crack in everything, that's how the light gets in. Now, I've read that this song has gone through almost a decade's worth of evolutions.
Yeah, but, you know, just because you work a long time on a song is no guarantee of its excellence. But this one, it took me a long time to nail the song, and I think I finally did. I've recorded that song four times, never made it into any of the albums. And when I say recorded, I mean completely with overdubs and choirs and strings. But there was something that didn't ring true about all the previous versions, but this one, I think I nailed it.
The birds, they sing at the break of day. Start again, I heard them say. Don't dwell on what has passed away or what is yet to be. Yeah, the war, they will be fought again. The holy dove, she will be cut again. Forget your perfect offering.
gets in. That's how the light gets in. That's how the light gets in.
That was Leonard Cohen with Anthem from the new album, which is The Future. Leonard, beginning with Jennifer Warne's album of your songs, Famous Blue Raincoat, your stock has been on the rise in the States. You think there's a reason your work has previously been more readily embraced overseas?
I don't know. It's a question that's often asked me. I've even asked it of myself, but I can't find any clear answer. I don't know why that is. Somehow a decision was made in this country that I just wasn't mainstream enough to merit the kind of promotion that it takes to put a record into the marketplace over here.
Right. Well, I think that's not true, but I guess that's decisions that neither you or I make. I noticed that on Jennifer Warne's new album, you worked on one song, and she only appears on Democracy on The Future. Are you guys trying to separate your artistic identities?
No, not really. In fact, we have a lot of, we always talk about doing things together. In fact, we just spoke this morning on the telephone. It's true that she wanted to work alone on this one, and she didn't want to, continually identify herself with me, and I think that's legitimate. She's a dynamite songwriter herself, and there's no reason why she'd have to maintain that identification. But she's on Light as the Breeze. She's on Democracy. The vocal arrangement of Closing Time is based on one that she did or that she sketched out. So she was there behind the scene quite a bit and always has been in my work and me and her work.
Well, a couple years ago, a project came out called I'm Your Fan, had covers of your songs by folks like R.E.M. and the Pixies and John Cale. Now that you've had some time to let that project sink in, can you view it with some objectivity?
Well, I can never view those things with objectivity. To tell you the truth, that my objectivity and my critical faculties go into immediate suspension when anybody covers one of my tunes. I just think it's great. People ask me, "Do you like that one better than that one?" Or "Didn't they mess that one up?" And I always laugh because whenever anybody does one of my tunes, I like it.
I want to put a lighter touch into this conversation, talking about laughing. Where in the world do you get your suits? You always look great, man.
My suits, right off the rack.
Do you really?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, when I lived in Greece, there was a tailor on a lane that the foreigners called Donkey Shit Lane, and he used to make my suits. And I used to hang out with him. We'd drink together, and we'd plan my suits. I guess that's where I got into the wearing of suits, because it was just natural in on that little island. You'd put a suit on Sunday and go down, to the port and sit and drink, and everybody had a suit on. But I missed blue jeans. I wasn't part of the. I was too old for blue jeans when they really got popular. Blue jeans to me were work clothes, so I never could, move into it as a, as something to wear every day. So I kind of stuck with suits. I feel comfortable with them, and as I get older. And drink in more respectable bars. It seems to be the right kind of apparel.
Okay, here's another inside peek at Leonard Cohen. How in the world did you wind up posing with that banana on the cover of I'm Your Man?
Well, that was not staged. That was at Jennifer's video when she was doing a video of First We Take Manhattan. She just invited me down, and there was a snack table there, and. you know, I picked up a banana. But when I looked at it, I thought, you know, this is the perfect image of the transcendent ape. So I found its way onto my cover.
And now with the new album, there's no photo of you on it.
You know, I got completely OD'd on photos of people, you know, including myself. You know, it just I felt whenever you went into a record store, looked at a newsstand, everywhere you looked, you know, there were faces looking back at you. And I just need a little relief from that avalanche.
Well, that's fair enough. We're talking with Leonard Cohen tonight on the KGSR Sunday Night News. The new album is called The Future. Leonard, at 58, when you look back on your work, are you comfortable with it as a chronicle of your life and times?
I've tried to do my best at it. You know, I think there were some years when my personal scene was such that I couldn't really bring, you know, full concentration to the records, but I can now, and you know, I guess it's you know, I'm getting at a time when I'm supposed to you know, lay back a bit, but I feel very enthusiastic about the whole activity now.
Do you ever feel naked that your romances with folks like Mary Ann and Janis Joplin and now Rebecca De Mornay become art and then they become almost mythologized?
Well, I try to keep my personal life out of things. I don't know what people can get, you know, from newspapers or from the songs themselves. When it comes to that whole question of revealing oneself, in terms of the gossip, no, I'm never pleased about that, and, you know, it's often inaccurate. But in terms of really revealing yourself, you know, the only reservations I have is that, you know, I haven't revealed myself enough, because I think when you really stand there, you know, without your emperor's clothes on, that you're really most like everybody else, and then people can really have access to your songs.
Well, my friends are gone and my hair is gray. I ache in the places where I used to play, and I'm crazy for love, but I'm not coming on. I'm just paying my rent every day in the Tower of Song. I said to Hank Williams, how lonely does it get? Hank Williams hasn't answered yet, but I hear him coughing all night long. Oh, 100 floors above me in the Tower of Song. Sorry, baby, it doesn't look like me at all. I'm standing by the window where the light is strong. Ah, they don't let a woman kill you, not in the Tower of Song. Grown bitter, but of this you may be sure, The rich have got their channels in the bedrooms of the poor, and there's